Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is September 15th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to do the week ahead segment here. Quite a bit transpired over the weekend. We're just going to go down the list and then we're going to talk about them. It's the best way we can do it. We have the Yemenis, or the Houthis, the rebels in Yemen, who have been in a quarrel with Saudi Arabia, attacked Saudi Arabia's largest oil processing facility over the weekend. However, the United States, at least Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is blaming the Iranians. We have new sexual assault allegations levied against Justice Brett Kavanaugh. We have Purdue Pharma, the company that manufactures OxyContin, the powerful painkiller, has just filed for bankruptcy late this evening. We have some Chinese data that broke overnight that is not looking too good. We have central bank policy that is going to take place this week. And we have North Korea. Kim Jong-un invites President Trump to Pyongyang. Very good. So let's start with the top story, which I'm sure many of you are aware of by now. The attacks, the drone attacks, that's what the story is, the drone attacks that have hit Saudi Arabian oil facilities. Now, this has knocked off 50% of Saudi Arabia's production. This ain't small potatoes. We now have the oil markets trading. We have WTI up 9%, which is now trading at almost $60 a barrel. And we have Brent up almost 10%, trading at $66 a barrel. Now, these numbers have pulled back. Both were up double digits percentage-wise, which I do believe is the largest increase ever for a single trading session for WTI and Brent. Now, this is all interconnected. A lot of this stuff, a lot of these headlines that we just mentioned here are interconnected. So let's stay focused and let's continue with this first one here with the attacks on Saudi Arabia. Immediately after these attacks, you had Iran come out and say, well, if the United States removes all sanctions, we will begin maximum production. And we will make up for whatever the Saudis are losing. Now, we don't believe in coincidences here, ladies and gentlemen, so I happen to believe that the Iranians are probably behind this some way or another. They could be. Or perhaps this is some sort of false flag attempt, but nevertheless, so far, the Houthis, the group out of Yemen, they're taking responsibility for this. But as I said at the top of the podcast, our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, almost immediately came out and said, this is the Iranians. Now, I told you just a few days ago, when the president fired John Bolton, the former national security advisor, I said, that's a step in the right direction, but that's not going to solve anything immediately. And so far, that's what we're seeing. Because John Bolton, his policy in the Middle East has been for nation building. It was for the intervention in Iraq. It was for the prolonged affair in Afghanistan. And it was for intervening in Venezuela, which we are currently doing. And it is messing with Iran, which we are also currently doing with this strategy of maximum pressure, which is still in existence, by the way, despite John Bolton's departure. And so even though Mike Pompeo has come out and said this is the Iranians, President Donald Trump has still not confirmed this. He is still out there because, of course, he is taken to Twitter. And he says, we are locked and loaded. We are locked and loaded if we have to attack Iran or respond to Iran, if the evidence shows that it was Iran. So again, we are at odds as to whether or not the president is on board with some senior officials within his own administration and within his own cabinet who are claiming that this is the work of the Iranians. Because clearly we know that the Saudi Arabians and the Iranians do not get along. It is well understood that this little conflict, and it's not that little, but this conflict between the Saudi Arabians and the people of Yemen is pretty much a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. This is not good, folks. You know, we've been telling you for quite a while that the supply and demand for oil is such that we anticipate lower oil prices. But we always said the wild card that could get oil prices moving higher was a geopolitical risk, geopolitical event. And this is slap in the face, a geopolitical event. Now, the question remains, how long will it take for the Saudis to get back online? From what we understand, these were pretty serious attacks. I believe it was 10 drone attacks. So however many missiles or bombs they dropped, they did some damage. There were some mixed reports as to whether or not the Saudis would be able to do this quickly within a matter of days. Now it seems to be perhaps a matter of weeks. We also had President Donald Trump declare that he is authorizing the use of our strategic oil reserves to maintain ample supply on the market if we have to. So there's a lot of moving parts in this, a lot of moving parts. This is going to tie in with, I think, the U.S.-China trade talks. This is going to tie in with central bank policy, because if this is a sustained increase in oil prices because this thing escalates further, or it takes the Saudis a lot longer to get back online, then we're going to have sustained oil prices. And if we have sustained higher oil prices, then that's not going to bode well for central bankers who are saying, well, we don't have any inflation. Well, if we have sustained oil prices, that's always what they flag as a concern that is going to spark and generate higher rates of inflation. So now what to do? We know that the ECB cut interest rates deeper into negative territory and is going to embark on the 1st of November on another round of quantitative easing, 20 billion euros per month to infinity and beyond. There's no deadline. We know that China is a massive net importer of oil. Now, the data that just came out this evening in regards to China, we have Chinese industrial output growth at a 17.5-year low. We have Chinese retail sales rising the least in 4 months. And we have Chinese fixed asset investment growth hitting below estimates. So there's not a lot of good news coming out of China right now. Higher oil prices is not going to bode well for that economy either. It's not going to bode well for really any economy around the world, perhaps with the exception of, well, Saudi Arabia, because they're so vested in oil, and Russia, because that's really where they make their money. Now, for the rest of the world who might be net importers of oil, it's not going to bode well for those nations. Again, the question remains, how long can these prices remain sustained? That is the integral question. Because I don't think that the U.S. is just going to lift all sanctions on Iran to allow them to make up the loss in production from Saudi Arabia, which they could do, by the way. They do have the ability to do it. Iran obviously has massive oil reserves. They do have the ability. Although, with maximum pressure placed on the Iranians, I believe their exports have been down 80% since this strategy of maximum pressure has been placed on the Iranians. So it's not good. So they're under a lot of stress. That's the whole point of these of this maximum pressure strategy, of these sanctions, which by some could be seen as a declaration of war in and of themselves. So if the Iranians are feeling the pressure and are starting to get squeezed, desperate times call for desperate measures, and if they think that it was warranted to attack the Saudi Arabian oil fields and these oil processing facilities, well, then here you go. The Iranians have also come out and denied that they were responsible for this, but did claim that they are ready for war. So this is not good language, ladies and gentlemen, especially on the back of some reports out later last week that the president, Donald Trump, may be willing to sit down with the president of Iran, President Rouhani, at the upcoming meeting at the United Nations, the General Assembly of the United Nations, which is set to take place at the end of this month. So now that's perhaps off the table, but let's hope that these world leaders can get together, because if they're talking, then perhaps we're not going to war. We want peace and prosperity. That's what we want. But I told you that these are the things that you got to look out for. If you're going to put maximum pressure on somebody, if you're going to do these sanctions, this is what you're going to get. this is what's going to happen, because people are going to do things to play the strong man. They're going to do things politically to maintain their power, to appease the hawks or the strong men in those political parties. This is what happens. If other countries place sanctions on the United States of America, I can guarantee you we would not take too kindly to it, nor should we. So you just have to put the shoe on the other foot and say, well, it makes sense that the Iranians are getting a little ticked off here. It's been quite a while, and they could very well be responding. Again, I'm assuming that the Iranians probably have a hand in this. This one makes sense to me just because of the coincidence and not believing in coincidence of the timing of their statement. Well, hey, if you lift all the sanctions off of us, we'll do maximum production to make up for what the Saudis are losing. So we got to pay close attention to this. Now, moving on to some other stories, the sexual allegations, the sexual assault allegations that are now being levied once again against Justice Kavanaugh are breaking. Unbelievable what the Democrats are doing to this guy. I mean, they threw him. Oh, boy. Just what was it? Last year already, during his confirmation, threw him through the mud. You know, look, everybody deserves their day in court. I haven't investigated this much at this point. But that doesn't mean that I know Senator Kamala Harris, obviously she's running for president, she attacked Judge Kavanaugh during his hearing. I mean, she really went after him. And she is, again, being quick to judge and to side with the accuser over Justice Kavanaugh. And of course, you have President Trump taking to Twitter and making claims that this is ridiculous, that Justice Kavanaugh should sue these people who are making these claims, or that the Justice Department should get involved on behalf of Justice Kavanaugh. Now, we're going to let the facts play out because nobody is above the law. I really hope that Justice Kavanaugh is not guilty of these allegations, but if he is, well, then he's going to have to be dealt with. So we're going to keep you posted on this, but just letting you know that this is, again, another story out there. This is another thing that these Democrats are going after Donald Trump on. If they can't go after him, they're going to go after his appointees. And this is just, this is par for the course. This is par for the course. This is further dividing the country, especially if these allegations prove to be unfounded. Now, if they are true, then that's a different situation, but that's not going to be good for the country either. Now, moving on to Purdue Pharmaceuticals filing for bankruptcy this evening. Now, they have been in the midst of many lawsuits, and they are losing. And that is probably the prime reason as to why they have filed for bankruptcy this evening. They have to pay out damages to the tunes of billions and billions of dollars. So they're gone. They're pretty much gone. Now the question remains, could this be some sort of catalyst for an economic downturn? Perhaps not. But we have to pay attention to this because I always told you it's going to come out of right field. It's going to come out of left field. You're not going to know where it's going to come out of, right? The things that you're looking for, you know, yes, they could be part of the dominoes that go down in such events, but rarely are they the first mover. It's usually something that nobody was anticipating. So could this be the first shoe to drop? We don't know, but we're going to keep you posted because I do think that this is timely. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. Another thing that's going on is we have General Motors and the UAW, the United Automobile Workers Union, are on strike. They're going on strike. They have not been on strike since 2007, which, ironically, was right before the peak of the last business expansion, right before the recession. If you go back to the other time, the previous time they were in striking before that, and I believe it was around 1998, which again, ironically, was shortly before the bust of the dot-com bubble. So I'm not saying that it has to happen again, but is this third time the charm again? I mean, is this boom, boom, boom? I don't know, but we're going to keep you posted. We'll see how long this takes. You have Donald Trump out there again on Twitter. He's on top of everything, folks. And he's saying, come on, guys, strike a deal. We can't deal with this stuff. Strike a deal. We'll see what happens. But this is all interesting stuff, all coming together. And what an exciting weekend. What an exciting weekend. I mean, for news, that is. I mean, depending on who you are, maybe it was good, maybe it was bad. But a strike between General Motors and UAW. Can't come to an agreement. So we'll see how long this lasts. But that's not going to be good either, because I think from what I read, up to 50,000 GM employees could be affected by this. That's not a small number by any measure. We have central bank policy. Of course, we have the Federal Reserve. We have the Bank of England. We have the Bank of Japan. And we have the People's Bank of China all meeting this week. Now, with higher oil prices, if this remains sustained, what are these guys going to do? Because we've been told they're data dependent. Well, this is a big data point, and they always point to the price of oil as something that is going to spur inflation throughout the system. Well, now you got it. You got the price of oil up 10%, 10% in one day. Now, if this escalates, it's gonna stay there, or it's gonna go even higher. So, you want to prime the pump? Does the Federal Reserve now want to come in and they want to say, well, 50 basis points? I mean, look, we're anticipating a cut of 25 basis points. If they cut them 50 basis points, then that's pretty much sending the signal that they know something that the market doesn't know, because the market is pretty much pricing in for 100% probability that the Federal Reserve is going to cut by 25 basis points. That's what we're still anticipating, although this news could change that a little bit. A little bit. We're going to have to see what happens. They're going to make their decision on Wednesday, September the 18th. So we're going to stay tuned for that. But what else we're going to be interested in is the forward guidance. The forward guidance. What are they going to say? Well, we cut one more time just to make sure that our insurance cut from last time is really going to do its job. I mean, this is the ridiculous that we're going to start hearing. Again, Thunder Thumbs wants them to go to zero. We're currently at 2.25%. They cut them by 25 basis points. We're going to be at 2%. He wants them to cut by 200 basis points and take it back to zero. And he'd be fine with negative interest rates. We've had that argument many times here. We're going to continue to do it, especially if he continues to tweet and talk about it, because it's complete nonsense. And I do believe Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, came out and said, you know, negative interest rates might not be the best thing. So I don't know if Larry's going to be on thin ice again, if he's going to be swimming or floating down the Potomac like he did sort of last time he came out against the tariffs and sort of admitted that the U.S. consumer and U.S. businesses pay the tariffs and not the Chinese. So we'll see if he's been reprimanded, that is Larry Kudlow, and if he's going to be swimming in the Potomac anytime soon. I'll keep you posted. But the central bank is in a predicament here. They are in a predicament because, again, 50-year lows on unemployment, inflation near target. Now, if this continues with the higher oil prices, now they got to be concerned about it. In a stock market that is nearing all-time highs. So the justification for cutting interest rates, at least here in the United States, is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's what the market wants. And even though the Federal Reserve claims that it is independent, well, clearly not, because you have the president who has been barking for lower interest rates and quantitative easing, and you have had markets who have been salivating, who have been crying like little babies that they want lower interest rates. And believe you me, they wouldn't care if there was quantitative easing attached to it too. They'd probably love it. So if the Federal Reserve does what the president wants and what Wall Street wants, Where's their independence? They're clearly making a decision either based off of what the president wants and or what Wall Street wants. Now, I think they probably give more weight to Wall Street than they do the president. But nevertheless, there's no independence if you're doing what the market wants. So, I mean, if they wanted to make a stand and say, look, we know what's best. We don't have to do it. We got 50-year low unemployment. We have inflation near target. And now with these geopolitical risks right now, inflation could tick up and surprise us. And we need to make sure that, we're just going to keep a balanced approach and we're going to wait till next month to see what happens. Of course, they could also use this as a further geopolitical risk that says, well, now we definitely have to cut interest rates because if we go to war and things go off, you know, what's going to happen? So there's a lot of moving parts here. The other thing of how all this, again, is tied in, even with the U.S.-China trade talks, like I said, China is a net importer of oil. And now we have weaker than expected numbers coming out of China. Are they going to want to come to the trade table, the negotiating table, from a standpoint of weakness? Because I would find it incredibly hard to believe that Donald Trump would not come out like he already has in the past and said, look, these tariffs are working beautifully against China. The United States is experiencing the greatest economy ever in our history, which is, of course, a bunch of BS. But China is now suffering at the hands of our policy and of these tariffs. I mean, is China going to tolerate that if Donald Trump comes out and says it now? I don't know, because I don't think Donald Trump would go back to the negotiating table if China was saying what we're saying about China. You follow? It's a position of weakness, unless, of course, China, again, like I said last week when on the podcast, is there trouble in the bond market? Is China offering a Trojan horse here? With their left hand, or is it an open hand, a gesture of peace and goodwill? Let's de-escalate this. Let's lower tariffs. Let's put a number of products and services on tariff exemption lists, and let's come back to the negotiating table. Meanwhile, with their right hand, they got a clenched fist and they got a club in it, and they're selling off U.S. Treasuries to get yields higher. So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way Donald Trump would go back to the negotiating table looking weak, as much as that's within his power. I believe the same thing with China, unless they have something else up their sleeve, which they very well may. But we're going to keep you posted on that, because I'm going to tell you something. All of these trade headlines, and if the Chinese want to buy more soybeans, that ain't going to do it, folks. Hate to break it to you, but soybeans ain't going to save the day. I know it's a stupid headline that we've been dealing with here for 18 months, but it's just not going to do it. On a perhaps positive note, we have North Korean leader Kim Jong-un sending a letter, which I imagine would have to be a beautiful, lovely letter, to President Donald Trump saying, come on over, Donnie boy, let's go swimming in the backyard pool. So we don't have a whole bunch of details as of right now as to whether or not Donald Trump will go, but I imagine he will, and he probably should. He probably should go continue the negotiations and continue the discussions. If we're having conversations, then hopefully we're not having war. And that's a better thing. That is a better outcome. Time will tell. But I applaud this president where I believe he needs to be applauded. I give him credit where he needs credit. This is most definitely an area where the president should be applauded. Extending an open hand, wanting to negotiate with people who have not been our friends, have not been our allies. I mean, look, it's easy to go talk to the Queen of England and to the Prime Minister of England and to the President of France, etc., etc. Those are our friends. Those are our allies. That's easy. You want to make peace, you got to go to who we're not in peace with. North Korea, the Iranians, etc., etc. So hopefully something good can come of this. Although Rocket Man has been shooting off some rockets over Japan and South Korea over there. But hopefully this turns into something a lot more positive. So a lot going on. This is all going to continue to take place throughout the week, probably for the next couple of weeks, if not beyond. We have, again, the Federal Reserve is going to be meeting this week, which is really what the financial markets are going to be paying very, very close attention to, in conjunction with what happens in the oil markets. Right now, as far as the U.S. futures are concerned, we are down a little bit, but that could turn around. The futures, you know, I'll mention it for news purposes, but, you know, sometimes the futures can be down triple digits, and then once the cash trade is open, it rallies the other way. So I really don't like talking about it, but just as you're aware, since oil prices are up 9-10%, U.S. futures are down about 100 points on the Dow right now. But again, that could change at any moment. So we covered a lot. We're going to have to look at some of these stories in greater detail, which we're going to do throughout this week, especially as they make their way through the news cycle. But like we always say here, stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News, because you never know what's going to happen. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you guys all enjoyed your weekend. And if you haven't, check out our website, thecapitalnews.com, or our YouTube channel. We have been posting some more videos up there, and I hope to have a couple more up this week, continuing our discussion on some recession variables and where we might be in the current business cycle. So I hope you're checking those out, and I hope you enjoy them. And if there's something that you want me to focus on, send us a note. We'd be happy to do it. I do this podcast for you guys. So if there's something you want to learn more about, just let me know, and I'll get on it. That's what we do here. So thank you so much for joining me. We'll catch you here tomorrow. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.